Thank you for listening to this message preached at Life Changes Church in Cape Town, South Africa. Our prayer is that as you listen to this inspiring message, your life will be transformed to love Jesus more passionately and equipped to do His will more fervently.
I think you'll know alongside me that there's huge amounts of verses in the Bible that talk about God being the Father. It was revealed back in the day with Israel, well before that. But with Israel, God many times says, I'm your Father. He talks about His son, Israel, or particular sons like Solomon. He talks about my son Solomon. And He says, I'm a father and I just wanted to love you, but you didn't want any of that. There was a lot of that, Israel coming and going. And Him just patiently, with His hands outstretched, waiting for Israel, waiting for His children to just do what He wants them to do, which is just to come into His love and into His plan. Jesus, in the New Testament, speaks a lot about the Father. He reveals to us that the Father is not just this ethereal kind of force, like Star Wars would have us believe, but the Father is a Father. He is our Father. And He goes to the extent of saying, He is our Father. He teaches us to pray, and He says, when you pray, pray like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So, it's a big thing. It's a huge, huge deal. Why is it a big deal? I don't know what your background situation is. I don't know what sort of father you have had or do have. So we're all coming from different places. So let's just take a look at Father. What is God's intention? We've always got to come back to the blueprint. We can look around ourselves. We can look at life. And if we're going to let that determine what this is all about, how things work, we're going to be pretty lost. Okay, because we need to go back to the blueprint. We've got to go back to God's design and see what was His intention with fathering. What is His plan? That thing not going, eh? That's cool. You can just leave it. We're good. We're good. I can give you those verses afterwards if you like. So, our need for a father. I was thinking about it, and I read in a book as well, so it wasn't just my idea, about the fact that when we start off life, we don't start off with a PhD degree. We don't start off coming into this planet as a physicist. God says, what does this world need? They need a engineer. And out comes an engineer, fully fledged with his Mercedes Benz. What do engineers drive? BMs? Eh? I drive a Toyota. I'm actually not an accountant, but somebody said to me, because I'm in that realm quite often, a lot of stuff I do, and after paying off their car for I don't know how long, and realizing this car is actually just costing them a lot of money, they said, now I realize why all accountants drive Toyotas. Toyota's a good car. Very good car. But we start off this life as a baby. We start off completely helpless, reliant on somebody else. That gets me. Especially gets me when I think about Jesus. When He started off life, He who was God eternally, everything made through Him, hand in hand with the Father, with the Holy Spirit, created it all. He starts off life as a little baby as well. He had to go through everything that we go through, and we have to go through that. We have to start off life completely helpless, completely reliant. And I think that it works both ways. It's both for fathers, for what they learn out of the process, and hugely for little babies, for us, as we start off our journey like that. We're learning lessons through that. We're learning to trust. We're learning to be completely dependent on somebody. Not independent. Not, I can just do this my way. That's how we start off. There's vital stuff that's learned along that path. Basic need inside of us is to be loved. It's to be accepted. It's to know that we're okay. There's different stuff for girls, for guys, particular things that we need to hear from our fathers. Things like, if it's a girl, that you're beautiful. Things that think about guys. Guys need to know that they have what it takes. They're going to be able to measure up. They're going to be able to fight that fight, slay the dragon. It's a good movie plot, fairy tale plot. Whatever it might be, fight that battle. So we want to know that we are okay. And that is the role of a father. Mothers play a very strong role, the role of mothering, but particularly fathering, that is what they do. They're going to call their kids out and affirm them. I was watching a movie in this past week, or a snippet from a movie, and those of you who have seen Black Hawk Down, quite a hectic movie. If anybody waved at me and you're under 18, shame on you. It's a very hectic movie. Anyway, so in this place, there's this young man, very young. I'd be surprised if he was older than 19. And he's dying. And he didn't pull through, they're in battle. For those of you who don't have a clue what I'm talking about, I need to tell you that the hawk the Black Hawk is this chopper. Okay, the chopper goes down and it's in Somalia, I think, and there's war going on. So it's a war movie. Okay, there's your background. So he's dying, and his dying words. And then you think, what would somebody on his deathbed say? And I was thinking, what is this guy going to say? Because, you know, he's on his way out here. And he grabs his sergeant or whatever, his commander's hand, says to him, tell my parents I fought well today. Tell them I fought hard. You just think about that, huh? Such a big need. And I think that that's not unique. They didn't just come up with something. They thought, let's come up with the corniest line we can put in this movie. They came up with something that is common in mankind, that is deep set in our hearts. Maybe they've drawn from experience, from people who've been in battle, and said, what was it? What was it they wanted to share? Now, somebody who's young, unmarried, etc., so there was no thoughts for a wife in that. But it's the need for affirmation, the need that your parents are proud of you, to make your parents proud. That's a deeply entrenched theme for that acceptance, for that approval. And that's not something that ends when we grow up, when we get into our teens. It doesn't end when we finish school. It doesn't end when we have our degree or we're married. There's that place of need inside of us stays regardless. We could be married. Our parents could already be passed away. But yet there's that place of need inside of us to have those things, that acceptance, that approval, that affirmation. Something that was put in there in a deep place. Sometimes it's expanded, it's a bit blown out of proportion because of what didn't happen when we were young in that formation time. So we all at different places. Like I say, some of us have had great parents and we grew up knowing our parents' affirmation, knowing their involvement in our life, feeling the strengthening, feeling that they're with me, they believe in me. And those people have started off their life after childhood into teenagehood, after teenagehood, going into their own independent lives. They've started with a huge step up, with a huge confidence, a huge strength that maybe those who didn't have that didn't start off with. But I know that me myself, with my father who was very absent, there was a lot of insecurity, a lot of uncertainty in my own heart. But regardless of what that is, all of us need to get to the place of realizing our parents, as we saw early this morning with that little funny clip about the father, our parents are not perfect. Our dad is not perfect. Our mommy is not perfect. Realizing that the one that we really need, the affirmation that we really need, the approval we need is from the Father. And then we come into truth. And truth sets us free and we realize, it's not through my own effort. It's not through me laboring. It's not through doing a bunch of stuff that I'm going to get that. It's only coming gratefully, receiving His free gift through what Jesus has done, that sets us free, that puts us in that place. It doesn't cure it. It's not a pill that we pop. But it sets in place a process that we can go to. It sets in place a platform for us to go to the Father and be receiving those things, and we're going to talk more about that. So our focus needs to be on the Father. Like I say, with my particular case, there was a book I read by Andy Comiskey. Those of you who know him, he began Living Waters Desert Stream Ministries, huge influence and huge ministry in helping guys who are struggling with homosexual lifestyles and tendencies. And he came from that background and found healing and wholeness in God. What he said mirrored my story when I read his book. And in this, he says when he turned, he says you get to a place in your teenagehood, and about 14, and you turn to your dad, and your dad is going to be the one who says, you're a man, and mirrors something. And you can see the, you feel the resonance. Hey, I'm like you, Dad, and I've got what it takes. And he says he turned to his dad, and there was a void. There was absolutely nothing. There was just a hollow resounding. So that was pretty similar to my case. My parents got divorced when I was 14. But prior to that, he was just uninvolved. He was living his own life, trying his best. I spoke to him this morning and wished him a happy Father's Day. Told him how much I love him. And all of that's hugely true. And God's done wonderful work in my own heart and in our relationship. But with the equipping he had, he did his absolute best. But the fact is, there was a void. I didn't have that. So I came with a desperation. It was a desperation that drove me to the Father. And you know, I've realized the Bible talks a lot about weaknesses and strengths. No matter what we go through, God turns all of those weaknesses to strengths. If I look at that situation, if I didn't have that lacking in my own soul, now, many of you haven't had that situation, had that story, so there would have been other things in your life, other positive things. Weaknesses turned to strength, but for me, that weakness was that lack from my dad. The strength was the fact that that drove me to the Father. My desperation, my attachment to dad. And that became a huge, huge strength. Came to draw from him. I came to understand his love. Came to attach myself deeply to him. Righty. Jesus reveals the Father. That's what Gabe said this morning. Got some verses on there, but I'm going to just give you the highlights of that. If we go back to the Old Testament in Isaiah, the Bible talks about, for unto us a child is born. I think you would know the place. And it's very interesting. And he shall be called Wonderful. Okay, he is wonderful. Jesus, it's talking about Jesus. Counselor. He certainly is the Counselor. And then it's that the third thing is Everlasting Father or Eternal Father. And then Prince of Peace. But that Eternal Father, wow, hey? So if you haven't seen Jesus in that light, I think we need to just get our gaze on that facet of Jesus. The Bible also says about Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God. He is the exact image. He is the mirror of who God is. We have some action. Isn't that wonderful? The image of the invisible God. Okay, let's roll the next one. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, an exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His wonderful word. Okay? Let's roll to the next. Okay, here's the message interpretation. The Son perfectly mirrors God, and He's stamped with God's nature. So you cannot devoid the fatherhood of God from who Jesus is. For unto us a child is born, Everlasting Father. Okay, I think that's the last one. Just to help get us a picture of Jesus. Now, the thing that really is helpful to me about Jesus in this context is that He is God, fully God, but in our framework. He comes in a way that we can easily relate to and understand, having, like I say, gone through everything that we went through. When I ask the question, how would God do this? How would He practically do this? You know, sometimes, and we'd read a lot in the Bible about God the Father and His love and His heart. But sometimes it just seems a little bit removed. It's like, okay, that's God, but you know, I'm here on earth. This is a little bit different, God. You know, you don't understand what I'm going through. But Jesus did. Jesus was here on earth. He wasn't a physical father, but He did a lot of fathering. And we read about it, and we read about His heart. So it's just wonderful, wonderful for me to identify with, to look to Jesus, to understand something of that Father heart. Okay, so we've got the Father, we got Jesus, and I'm hoping that we would just be inspired to go, to look to God, to look to Jesus, to gain insight, to gain understanding of how this thing's done. I was reading this past week in Thessalonians, and it talks there about, Paul is talking about being amongst the Thessalonians, and the words he chooses to use is, he says, I was like a father among you, whispering and gently encouraging, etc. And we just see how he himself has learned from God, and he's putting that into action. Fathering is not something that's just for fathers. Something that we don't just limit to our own kids. It's an attitude. It's a intentionality that we have for people around us. Mothers can father, and single moms have to father. They don't have the masculinity in great doses, the strength that men carry, who are more equipped to do that job ideally, but certainly they can father, and they can do a darn good job. So all of us, to some extent, can father. Let's have a look at what happens when things go wrong, and why things do go wrong. I love my kids hugely. Got to tell you that, and I have told you that. It's a huge privilege to be a dad. It's the things that really presses my dad buttons the most, two sort of situations that I thought of. The one is my little guy and my other girls when they were small, little toddler. And when he comes to me and he says, come dad, come, take my hand. Come have breakfast with me. Come ride bikes with me. Just wants dad to be doing something. Life is a big adventure, and it's best done with dad at his side. And that's just wonderful. It just warms my heart. And when I look at my older children, and I look at, they don't often do that with me anymore. But what, I mean, you can. I would welcome that. That would be nice. But with my older children, just to see them blossoming and them performing and them stepping into things and living out their talents, that's just like, wow, just blown away. I think, God, you know, they can be dancing, singing, doing art, whatever it might be, relationships and just the decisions they make. And I just think, yow, that is incredible. And I just think what a privilege it is for me to, it's not because of me. I didn't make them, actually. It was God who made them, put them here. But I have been privileged to just be on the inside track and to just be part of their process. So, huge, just wonderful. But it also takes a lot. Got to be honest. It's not an easy task. It's the second most difficult thing I've ever taken on. The first is marriage. The second is kids. And then sometimes it's, okay, which one's the hardest? Yeah. But it takes a lot, because we come into this as people ourselves who are not complete. We don't have it together. We are broken. We do lose our tempers, and we do all those things that thing said. So the place, for instance, that I'm very vulnerable is my desire for positive feedback. And I struggle when I don't get it. You know, I want positive feedback. I want my little boy to say, hey, Dad, give me a hug. You know, that there's something positive going on here. Good times. So you can understand, those of you who have been through this, that teenage years hit me with a bit of a wake-up. It was a bit tricky for me, because you're at a time of your life where you yourself going through stuff, and your kids, they're on their own track suddenly of self-independence and learning themselves. They don't want to drag you around and do everything with you anymore. So it's a tough time. Now, I heard this. This is really, really cool. Why did God make our children go through teenage phases? That's a question you can ask. And I got a really cool answer. So that we can know what it's like to have something created in our own image, provide all their needs, only to have them deny our existence. Get to know how God feels a bit. But I got to be honest, and that even in that, the issue is not teenagers. The issue there is me. The issue is my response. The issue is my sense of insecurity. The issue is my lack of being more like the Father, more like Him with His unconditional love, and my own needs and my own lack surfacing, my own defects. God's love is so, so full, so complete, so total, so unconditional. Gabe shared the story of the Father that loving father and the prodigal son last week. So I wasn't going to put that away. But what a story, huh? What a story. It's a story about God. It's not a story about the wayward son, actually, about us. It's a story about the father who never gives up. The father who is always there, no matter what goes on. So let's get back to Jesus and let's have a look. How did he handle stuff? What kind of a love is this that we can have? Because he modeled this. He says, you can do this. Give me my Holy Spirit that you can do this. When he had his people spit in his face, okay, he loved them and he blessed them. When they cursed and insulted him, he just loved and forgave them. When his motives were questioned, whose motives are unquestionable and whose ways are perfect, there was no reaction, there was no barb. You think about Thomas, always questioning him, unsure. There was no negativity there at all. And you think of how he was betrayed and sold over to his enemies to be abused and tortured. And his reaction, just a smile and love, still share his food with you, still give you a kiss to welcome you. That is the father heart of God. I think, wow, God, I have nothing to complain about. Absolutely nothing. But that's what God's calling us to. Calling us to learn from him. Because that element of fathering, that nature of who father is, that principle, is something that is deeply entrenched. It's something that he created everything in and through. I think in our marrow, it sits there. It's the stuff that everything is really made of. It's available to us. It's not something foreign. It's not like something alien, as it might feel sometimes. It's actually the way God made it to be. So we go back to him and we say, how do we do this stuff, God? And he both shows us and he leads us. And he gets us to find that love, find that capacity, find that potential he's placed within us. And deals with some of the other stuff on the journey that we can get to that place and live out his heart. And that's what I want more and more, to be living out the Father's heart. I want to be living out his attitude to my kids. I'm useless at it. Could it be honest? So many times, I don't do the stuff that he does. But I know where I'm focused. I've got to come back to it. I say, God, that is the standard. That is the standard. The standard is not comparing myself to the oak in the newspaper who beat up his family or shot them or whatever. And I say, I'm not that bad. You know, the standard is saying, God, it's you. Come there and get refreshed in my mindset over and over and over. And how wonderful is that? And in the process, we heard about God's grace last week. A wonderful teaching, if you want to just download it, I gave there. God's grace, he doesn't set the bar and say, well, this is what you need to make. If you don't, I'm just not happy with you. He believes in us completely. He says, I believe that you can do this thing. And when we don't fail, the standard is still there. He doesn't move the standard, but he puts his grace there. He looks at us through the grid of Jesus, and he sees Jesus' perfection, and he doesn't count it against us. But his encouragement is there just to say, stand up, my son. You can do this. And that's what I feel when I look into the Father's eyes, when I spend time with him. That's what I get. I get that sense, I can do this thing. I can stand up. I can fight this fight. I can overcome. The Father gives me that strength. Okay. Just about through. Let's look at just a couple of other things that I've got written down, if I can figure out where I'm going. Apologies. We've got a module, just to come back to the beginning of the story. We've got a module that runs in our programming. It runs when we're children, runs when we're born, right from the beginning. And that's the parent-child module, if I could call it that. That is the thing that builds our self-esteem, our self-confidence. It's the thing that gives us our self-concept. It helps us and teaches us how to relate to authority. It gives us our sense of responsibility, self-confidence. And these are massive topics and terms that psychologists focus on and deal with, but they're something that's very human, something that's very central to who we are as people. And these are not things that we can study in a book and that we're going to get later in life. It's something that others bestow on us, do in our lives before we know anything that's going on. It's happening when we are a little infant. It's happening when we're in the womb even. It's happening when we're a little baby and growing up as a kid. All this stuff's going on. And the mom and dad have an important role to play. But, as I've said, it's the Heavenly Father that we need to get those things from. We need to come and realize in all of those areas, I'm not going to be able to find that stuff in myself. No matter how much I look in the mirror and tell myself I'm beautiful, no matter what I do, I'm not going to get the equipment that I need to do the job. Because from that pool of who I am, of what I've received, so I can give. So we need to come to the Heavenly Father. And that's the route for us. If you think about the Bible teaching about the kingdom of God, the Bible says, Jesus taught and said, unless you become like these little children, you can't enter the kingdom. There's a posture that is calling us to saying, faith and following me requires something of a lack of sophistication, a lack of, I've got it all together, which we so often want to have. We think that's going to qualify me. What qualifies us is for us to come like little kids. And coming back to my story about starting off life that way, it's a position of saying, I'm open, I'm vulnerable, I don't have the answers, and I'm desperately dependent on my dad. I'm desperately dependent on my dad. So that's what I want to leave you with this morning, is a call for us to come back and to stay in that place. Maybe for some of us it's the first time we're hearing this. Maybe we've been walking in this and it's a reminder. But the call is for us to come to a posture of reliance, a posture of looking into the eyes of our dad. Just the way a little baby looks into the eyes of her mom or dad and gets that affirmation, gets that love. It's the calling for us to come to our dad and to look into his eyes and for him to feed us and for us to realize, I am loved. I am deeply cared for. And that is the thing that's going to form who we are on the inside. That's going to give us security. And that is kingdom. That's how it works and that's how it starts. We work, it works its way in, works its way out from the inside out. It's not something that we put on the outside. Christianity is not a, it's not a subscription into a school where you say, I'm going to follow the rules and this is what I'm going to do and if I make the grade it's going to be okay and I mustn't do this. That's not what God is calling us to. He's calling us to a relationship. He's calling us to be in that intimate place of having him as our dad. Having him as the one who feeds us, having him as the one who forms us, and then from that place, living in relationship with him and living in relationship with his other children. So I'm in that process. He's done a lot, and there's still a lot that he needs to do. In that place, I think at the pinnacle of me trying to work this stuff out, there was a time in my life I realized my desperation for him that I've talked about. I realized the emotional mess in my own heart. And that parable of the prodigal son was so meaningful to me. Just going to grab my water, sorry. Yeah, that prodigal son story was just so poignant to me, just meditating on it. And I encourage you to do that. Spend time reading it and just put yourself in that place. See Dad in that place of being open and loving, because he is. Think about where we're coming from. And just go to God in prayer with that. That was so meaningful. And there was some time spent with God where he just opened up pictures to me of himself as my dad and spending time with me and just interacting, just loving on me. And that did a huge thing. Just deep security, taking away the insecurities, deep acceptance of who I was, coming to terms and just saying, wow, God, if you love me this much, how can I not love myself? And that's the thing that works its way out. The last thing I want to say, very last, is just encourage us that as we work this thing out into the future, this is not something that happens in isolation, where we book ourselves into a hospital ward and we say, you know what, I've got all these things I need to work through. Because we all have, to some degree, have lacks. Lacks because of abusive parents, maybe, or absent parents, or there's always some measure of lack. But it's not something that's going to work its way out healthily and in a good way on our own as we isolate ourselves. It happens on the journey. It happens while we're doing stuff in relationship with others. It's amazing. It's in relationships where things break down. It's in relationships where God brings healing and mending. So we do it on the journey. We do it as we're engaging with our own kids. There's no break here. You'll notice in life, especially with me at 23, married, and 24. I think I was 24 when my first daughter was born. She was definitely on her way at 24. By 25, certainly. But life, no matter when you had your children, if you have had children, you'll know that it's a continuum. You're still trying to work out, hey, who am I, what am I doing on this planet, and suddenly you've got kids and you need to impart it. And there's something of that that's God's pattern. It's as we walk, as we do the stuff that He's calling us to do. In that same movie, Black Hawk Down, there's just another part where this guy's feeling really hectic about what he's been through and what's happened. And obviously his comrade realizes this, says to him, you did good today. Something of building our self-esteem, bolstering us along the way that we get as we work this thing out with other people.
For regular updates and more information about Life Changes Church, please visit our website, www.lifechanges.org.za. The Lord bless you.